Blog Talk Radio.
The new brown sugar cream cold brew keeps it calm, cool, and cold brewed all summer long. And it's topped with a brown sugar cold foam. Cold foam on a cold brew? That's double cool. Get any medium cold brew now for $3.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Called it our love refrain. Now it's gone and I'm left completely. Oh, I'm out in the cold again. I dreamed that our love would linger, but just memories remain. Looks like I'm out in the cold again. So true, it hurts my pride to step aside for somebody new. Oh, but deep down inside, my whole world depended on. Shelter me from the rain. Oh, but now I'm back where I started. Oh, I'm out in the cold again. And oh, I'm out in the cold again.
This is a product of WBNN. This is A&M University, and I am your host, Ambassador Wadet Mentuhotep-El, on air now from Lagos. Dial in 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. And today, our topic is Nigerians of the diaspora, meaning men and women from Nigeria that live in other areas of the world, especially America. I am of America and been birthed here in America, but I have, far as interest in all melanated people everywhere around the world, you know, especially in the Americas and in Africa, and we're centered around Nigeria today. There are a lot of innovators and creators who come from there that dwell in the Americas, you know, and all people of all the areas of Africa are all special and great. And so, and in regards to this, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you all to an innovative and creative good friend of mine by the name of Sylvester Omeje. He is of Nigeria, and he dwells in the Americas, especially here in, you know, Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I dwell as well. Now, his industry is community development, and his focus is Nigerians in the diaspora supporting themselves and also working with others in who are from of Africa who dwell in the Americas as well. And now, Mr. Omeje, he has over several years in management and project management expertise with social service and nonprofit programs. He has the ability to establish relationships and build teams across the country as well as global regions. He has developed strong skills in customer service / program management strategies to achieve growth and revenue goals within budgetary constraints / deadlines and manage multiple projects with multifaceted personnel. And also, he's associated with creating dynamic sales plans to help different initiatives reach their goals. And he has an interest in limelighting talents and initiatives through social networking. And also, Mr. Omeje, in behalf of the Union of African Communities of Southwestern Pennsylvania, he ensures that union has resources available, and he ensures the union's programming and events are well executed. And also, he is passionate about youth development and community building. He desires to use his skills to instill optimism and education in the minds of youth, young people, and empowering their ability to strengthen their creativity, ingenuity. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you to Sylvester Omeje. And Mr. Omeje, you have the floor. Please press the line.
Mr. Wada, thank you very much for that introduction. I'm pleased to be with you tonight, and I'm sure it's going to be an interesting evening. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I would like to know, what state in Nigeria do you represent?
Well, not represent per se. I hail from the middle part of Nigeria called the Kogi State, and my tribe in particular is the Igala. We're mostly located in the, it's called the confluence, in the central part of Nigeria, very close to the capital city, Abuja, you know. But I grew up in Lagos, and most of my activities and most of the things I've known today, I kind of like acquired some of those skills, you know, growing up in Lagos. But while growing up, I had an opportunity to go back and forth to my motherland, to the Kogi State, where I happened to spend some time with my grandparents before getting back to Lagos again to continue my education. You know.
Now, in regards, what is your role with the Union of African Communities of Southwestern Pennsylvania?
Right. The Union of African Communities of Southwestern PA, my role there majorly is the vice president of the association. I've been with them since 2011. I became the vice president in 2014. And since then, I've been in charge of different programming that help integrate African immigrants that are recently migrating here, you know, in the region, and mostly in the area of civil services, you know, and helping them navigate resources that can help them better integrate, basically. We work hand in hand with the county, Allegheny County, and the city, the city of Pittsburgh, to create policies that help understand how to relate with immigrant community and how immigrant community can also be a part of the fabrics that makes Pittsburgh culturally diverse. You know, and yeah, these are the things that I do for the organization and the roles that I play.
What were some of the major policies that have been created in behalf of those who are of Nigeria that migrated to the Americas in Allegheny County? What was the most effective policy that was developed?
Well, about 4 years ago, we had worked with the Immigrants and International, with the Department of Human Services. We came up with something that is called the Immigrant Blueprint. It's more like a map, you know, to help highlight how the government can create a pathway or easy, accessible information that immigrants coming to the region can assess, and also in the area of things that has to do with cultural shocks and cultural competency in schools. We've had situations where students who come here really don't know how to relate with the environment due to cultural shocks. So what we do is to help the teachers and some of the students, you know, to be aware of how to relate with some of us. Sometimes it has to be because of the language barriers. So through ESL programs, we're able to empower the immigrants that come here for those who don't speak English. And we help with things. We situated some policy that the office of the mayor can assess language translations, where they will call certain numbers and we would help with translation in the area of things that has to do with court or medical services, you know. So there's a whole lot of different elements, moving elements to it that would actually make the integration of a newly migrated individual difficult. But because of some of these things we've put in place, it makes it easier for you to access some of those information and have access to services that the government has to offer. So that relationship and helping the government understand how to deal with us was very key. You know, so that immigrant blueprint was one of the things that we created that we are very proud of.
Awesome, awesome. That's amazing, and it's very impactful and informative as well. Now,
right.
What other melanated people of Africa have you interacted with, as far as with helping them with knowing how to integrate in the said county that they're in, to be able to engage with those actually benefit from the policies and such that have been enacted. What other countries in that? People of countries of Africa have you engaged with?
So the USC SWPA is an umbrella organization. We have about 20 member countries that are part of this organization, but the ones that are really the ones that have a heavy presence in the region includes the Nigerian community, the Liberian communities, the Cameroonian communities, the Zambian communities, the Ghanaian communities. There are some Ugandans and some other different small groups that are not really as well organized, Or there's the Somali Bantu community that is also well organized. There's the Sudanese community that are well organized. You know, all these communities are the communities we interface with directly, you know. And like I was saying earlier, the business of integrating Africans is in different moving parts. While we were dealing with governments to help us integrate proper, we also have to deal with cultural divide between other race or other people of colors. Like we were saying, you and I had one conversation the one time about and how, you know, the difference, the things that divide us as Africans coming here as it's related to the African Americans, you know. So when we're coming here, we think that you are coming to meet people whom you are of like skin, but then you immediately realize that there's that language barrier, the way you speak, the way you dress, the way you carry yourself is completely different. And you're caught off guard by the reactions, the counter reactions you get from the African Americans. They are also inquisitive to learn about you, but some of the characters you portray are kind of like new to them. And so you're in a new environment, you're dealing with cultural shifts, you're also dealing with, you know, cultural divide. But at the end, what we do with USC in order to make that a seamless effort is to have something we had a speaker series we called Bridging the Gap in the past, where we create a forum of where we have conversations and begin to understand what are those things that divide us culturally, what are the things that we can do to bridge these gaps that we have. You know, some of these things are very pertinent and important if we have to force that path to cultural integration, you know. I'm not sure if I answered your question. I thought I overshoot a little bit.
No. It was awesome content. Because as far as growing up, I've been exposed to as far as various culture aspects, like coming from Africa, when dealt with art and also writing. Like for its history and such, but to actually interact, like to actually have actual interaction, like with the people, you know, in my community and neighborhood, you know, within Pittsburgh, you know, I wish there was like more of it. But we're going to tune into the track next by DJ Legend, Brother O.
To give your heart a song to sing, and then a kiss. Oh, but more than this, I wish you love. And in July, a lemonade to cool you in some leafy glade. I wish you health, oh, and more than well, I wish you love. My breaking heart, and I agree that you and I will never be. So with my very best, I set you free. Oh, honey, I wish you shelter from the storm, a cozy fire to keep you warm. Oh, but most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish
But most of all, when snowflakes fall, I wish you love.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a product of WBNN. This is A&M University, and I am your host, Ambassador Wadette Mentuhotep L. On air now from Lagos, dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. The topic tonight, Nigerians of the diaspora, men and women from Nigeria that live in other areas of the world, especially America. And we are back with our special guest tonight, Sylvester Omeje, who is of the Industry, Community Development, and Focus, Nigerians in the Diaspora Supporting Themselves. And also, if there's anyone who has any questions or would like to engage with Mr. Omeje, please press 1 to join the conversation and dial in at 516-453-9133. Now, Mr. Omeje,
I see, sir,
that you have went to college at New Hampshire University. So being that you are from Nigeria and coming in experiencing that environment for a man like yourself, like how was that experience for you, like the social experience?
Well, yeah. I did take some classes with Southern New Hampshire, but at first it was I first went to La Roche College before transferring credit to an online program. But where I actually had a personal engagement was more of when I went to La Roche College, and I just got in then. It was in May. Usually May, it's already, we're getting into summer already, and the weather is usually hot. But at this time when I just got in, I got in and you expect that at this time, you know, I should be enjoying summer and all that. But it was cold for me, you know, physically. So I was used to wearing heavy suits to school. And the other kids would laugh at me and they would make fun of me. I'm like, why are you wearing that? The weather is hot. You know, so coming from an environment where we have a very hot weather, to a different environment where I'm experiencing snow for the first time, you know, it was different for me. And so social interactions was something I was beginning to learn and understand. And the other thing was my accent. I had a very deep accent, and communication was kind of like very strong, very hard for me to really communicate with the Americans. I found myself paraphrasing, you know, my sentences, you know, once or twice every time I tried to engage with someone, you know. But over time, all that became a thing of the past. I've learned and mastered my communication skills with folks who are not from my country. So socially, it's an interesting journey, and I think every immigrant, you know, have had their own share of that experience in one way or the other, you know. But luckily, I immigrated from an English-speaking country, but we speak British English. Americans have a way of, you know, twisting their own sentences and words, and you know, we had to adapt to that as well. So socially, some of the things that I had to deal with.
Now, what particular major? You mentioned La Roche College,
correct?
that you went to before New Hampshire University. Okay, so what major did you take up in La Roche College or La Roche University?
I computer science with concentration in telecommunication.
What had inspired you to take on those particular majors?
Well, before coming to the U.S., I ventured into IT right from my high school. As I speak in Nigeria, I was talking to someone recently. The university, board of university, we call them ASU, they are currently on strike. And from what I understand, they've been on strike for like 7 years, 7 months rather, please pardon me. This is not new. My first degree was in environmental management and toxicology from Nigeria. And while I was doing that, a regular four years course would take you like 5 or 6 years to finish because of some of these ASU strikes and all that, you know. So it was during one of those strikes that I took it upon myself to study, to take more classes and extracurricular classes in IT, where we did A+ and what have you, and networking. So it was that experience that actually launched me into the IT field. So outside of my science experience, I had to get into IT because of those ASU strikes, and I never turned back since I, you know, got into that field, because I see IT as a tool of the future. And you can agree with me, when COVID came, a lot of businesses started to, you know, depend on the technology that avails to them to be able to do business. And IT was their saving grace.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great outlook that you had. You know, that had attracted you to the majors that you wanted, that you had applied for and completed. Now, for New Hampshire University, what were your majors there?
It's the same field, IT. I just transferred credit because I needed to do online and be able to focus on businesses that are started here, and also to be able to support my family directly, you know.
So for yourself, whenever it comes to supporting Nigerians of the diaspora, how has those skills that you had learned translated into that particular to that level?
Can you repeat that question? My bad, sorry.
Oh, it was like the skills you learned in while in college. How did those?
Oh, you mean how have I been able to apply that to the community programs that I do?
Right.
Well, yeah. So in 2017, I worked with before 2017, I was working with a healthcare, Allegheny Health Network. I worked there for about a year and a half in the IT department. But I didn't really see myself as more of a 7 to 8 person. I wanted to do more. You know, I wanted to empower more people through what I know and what I do, you know, and I was getting other contracts on the side, and I thought probably to venture more into those contracts. So I started my own IT firm called AIG LLC, and through that, through our social responsibility, we were using that to empower community, because I'm more directly connected with my African network here. And as the Africans that are migrating here, the more they require, you know, new skill sets to be able to thrive in this new land that we're in, I was able to engage a lot of them and train them in the basic IT knowledge that they require to thrive. And then we would get contract, and through that I was able to, you know, grow my workforce, you know.
Yes, also, Mr. Omeje, we will continue after the track, the track that is next by DJ Legend, Brother O.
This is a product of David Anderson's, of course, the wonderful A&M University, and your host, Wajid Mentuhotep. All you got to do is join us at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by the boys at Ngozi Time Multimedia. Now back to Wajid Mentuhotep.
Nigerians, thank you, Brother O. Nigerian, our topic tonight, Nigerians of the Diaspora. Men and women from Nigeria that live in other areas of the world, especially America. And ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Mr. Omeje. And also, if anyone out there has any questions for Mr. Omeje, please press 1 to join the conversation. Please press 1 to join the conversation. And now, Mr. Omeje, as we continue, you brought up Ayag LLC that uses innovation to unlock opportunities that drive sustainable growth for tomorrow's business. And so with you being involved in community development from the previous information we went through earlier, how does Ayag stem from your experience in community development?
Well, it's two different business, basically, the drive on different model, but at the same time, they're connected in some kind of way because we use our CSR to empower youth. We train them and connect them with jobs. And by so doing, we grow our own workforce And immigrants who come here, a lot, most of them at times probably just some of them probably just got in, they're students, they just been granted a work permit to only work certain hours. While they're preparing to, you know, integrate or maybe probably change their status in the future, we kind of like arm them with the IT tools they need to prepare them for when they transition into as a resident or as a citizen. So AIAG has positioned itself in that manner, you know, to be able to do that. But at the same time, it's a mutually benefiting, you know, model where after we empower these individuals, we also, you know, aren't short of staff when we need them, you know, at any point in time. So this is the relationship between AIAG and the direct community that I serve. Yeah.
And also, to include, you are also the co-owner of Ego TV of EgoTV.ng in partnership with Ego TV owner Thompson Makolo.
That's correct. Thompson Makolo is a filmmaker. He's Igala by tribe, the same tribe where I come from. We do have a media outlet that we had set up in Nigeria strictly for film and music making, and I have a director that works for me back there in Nigeria, in Abuja. So we have worked with Thompson Makolo in the past on different projects, and he had reached out to me about the Ego TV, and his goal with Ego TV was to kind of like curate language-based films to be able to promote culture across Africa and globally. So I was interested. Being in the IT field, I thought I had a tool to help him develop the platform. And because of my interest and his interest, we decided to partner to set up that platform. It's the platform Ego TV is still on the pilot phase. It's been commissioned, but we're working on onboarding different films and filmmakers, you know, to grow the content on there. You know, it's still a project in the making, and we're hoping to take it to the next height soonest of time.
Also, that's awesome. Now, in regards to, I noticed that you have some background in short films. Writing or short film writing and production, like before you took on that venture, like what creations have you manifested as far as from that interest that you have?
My interest in film, you know, is from the documentary point of view. I believe because of my passion for cultural diversity, I believe that in order for us to preserve history, I mean, it's been done from ages, you know, in the Western world. We need to be able to use film to tell our stories and, you know, tell our stories to the world the way we know it. You know, not sit back and allow others to come tell our stories for us because they won't know our story as much as we do. You know, so I ventured into film making because I wanted to be a part of that, and also it's one way of me actually engraving my name, you know, on something that I know, you know, is gonna be there, be out there for as long as it lasts, you know. But preserving cultural identity is a key it's a key part of myself, something I have passion for, because I want to be able to tell the Igala story or any other tribal story or cultural story, you know, for that matter, and tell it to the world, you know.
It seems that with being involved with short films, that that deals with having a good eye for, like, angles, scenery, things like that, you know, and, like, and also a bit of creative writing as well. how would you rate your creative writing skills?
I don't want to sound like a jack of all trades, but I am that person who just whatever I develop interest in, I just want to have, you know, some level of experience in it. I am proficient to be able to write, but I am not. I will not say I'm a professional writer because that is not my core area. But I believe I'm one of those people that believe that having a bit of experience or skill set in almost everything around you, you know, makes you probably a better person because you will be able to manage anything that, you know, that is in that light, quote unquote. You know, I'm not the greatest writer, but I do have some proficiency in that field, you know.
Cool. So, like, are there any producers of short films that you admire?
Maybe not short films, but there's the one guy in film industry that inspires me the most, and one of the best films that of all time that I've seen that has inspired me is there's a film titled Apocalypto by Mel Gibson, you know, who directed that movie. You know, I watched that movie over and over and over again because of the creativity that went into it, you know. And Mel Gibson is one person I admire a lot. A lot of his work, you know, has become a pace setter in the film industry, and I like to imbibe his. Hello. Sorry,
that's awesome for the ladies and gentlemen out there in the world, you know. And we got a track next by DJ Legend, Brother O.
If I go a million miles away, I'd try. And every day, 'cause honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you. Make me weep, and you can make me cry. See me coming, and you can pass. But honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you. Oh, you're the apple of my eye, your cherry pie, and oh, your cake and ice cream. Oh, your sugar and spice, and everything's nice. You're the girl of my dreams. But if you wanted to leave me and roam, when you got back, I'd just say welcome home. 'Cause honey, nothing can ever change this love I have for you.
This is a product of WBNN
This is A&M University, and I'm your host, Ambassador Waudet Mentuhotep L, on air now from Lagos. Dial in 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Our topic tonight, Nigerians of the diaspora, men and women from Nigeria that live in other areas of the world, especially America. We are with our guest tonight, Sylvester Umeje, and we have caller 1 in the queue. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, calling from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. We're taking over all bounds, northbound and southbound. And we tackle Dallas Cowboys fans with Flyers jerseys on. But check it. I got one question, though, for Sylvester.
Yes, sir.
I would like to know this. As beautiful as it is in Africa, especially in Nigeria, all over Nigeria and parts of Africa, West Africa, all these countries over that coast there, you know what I'm saying, is that as beautiful as it is? Why would a person want to come to this scumbag country here? You know, leaving all that beauty and all these divine things over there, why would one want to come here to the scumbag earth of America? I just want to know these things.
Thank you, sir, for that question. You see, yes, Nigeria, Africa, the continent is a beautiful country, you know, and it's a struggle, you know, for a lot of Nigeria. I know it's also a struggle here in America, you know, coming to America doesn't even, it doesn't make you like, you know, a better person. It depends on what you embrace. I think my major reason for coming to America at first was me coming to study. Like, if you heard my conversation earlier about, you know, going to school in Nigeria and after 6 years of study, and you find it hard to find a job or even, you know, survive in the country because of a whole lot of things going on, corruptions and all that. Don't get me wrong, we have that going on here, but I think we come here because of opportunities, for better opportunities, for better education system, you know, security, guaranteed security, you know, some of the things we face daily in Nigeria, we continue to pray for the leadership, you know, to change hand and change the situation of the continent. The major problem we have in Africa is the problem of leadership and also a problem of Western influence that want to continue to keep Africa in abject poverty. You know, Africa is not poor. We do have the resources, like you would have heard numerous times. We have all the natural resources and all that. But those natural resources are controlled by the Western world. And the funding, the money generated from all these resources are kept in the hands of few. So leaving a country like Nigeria that has over 200 million people, you know, and you have probably 1-2% of them that are rich, and the middle class is completely disenfranchised from these resources that we're talking about. So it's hard for a common person, you know, growing up, you know, going to school to really survive in this kind of situation. But here, you're given the opportunity. It's more like an equal opportunity. I mean, a lot of you can argue that, but you stand a chance of getting a job or creating a job and succeeding in those jobs here than you would do in Nigeria, you know. But we Nigerians are very resilient people, you know, irrespective of whatever environment you put us, you know, we will still survive, you know, and thrive. You know, I'm not sure if that answers your question, but, yeah, it's for the sake of better opportunities to be better empowered and grow, you know.
Excellent. Now, one more question. Economically,
yes,
you know what I'm saying? Economically, as far as the structure and what is built as a bridge, you know, from people from your country and that's scattered about in the United States of America, and people who are from the United States of America who may not have ever been to your country or any countries as far as the West Coast of Africa, you know what I'm saying? What could you possibly do to what can we do as Americans, as indigenous Americans, you know what I'm saying? What could we do to open up a bridge for people who want to, you know, give kind of reproduce and recultivate the structure and economics in Nigeria and other countries in the on the West Coast of Africa? What could we do to put into that, you know what I'm saying, opposed to what's happening here, you know what I'm saying? And we see it's obvious what's happening here, but what can we do to form a bridge of safety for people who want to, you know, kind of explore where they from. You know, you have people who have natives and lineage of people who are from these countries, Nigeria, Guinea, and all these different places on the West Coast of Africa, you know, who've been there for thousands of years. You know, what can we do to get reacquainted with these ancestries?
Well, thank you very much again for that question. Ambassador Wadet, you and I were having this same conversation just a couple of days ago, you know, and, you know, I've had people from here who had approached me and told me they want to go to Africa, or they are talking to some people that is going to help them invest in some business or buy a land or something like that, you know. And my answer to them was, you know, if you have to buy something, you got to see it first. So if you want to invest in Nigeria or any other African country for that matter, I think you can visit the country, visit the continent, you know, acquaint yourself with the environment so you can know what you're getting yourself into. You know, corruption is everywhere. You can be tricked here in America or defrauded of anything that you of your financial gains here if you're not careful as well. But the fact that you're cautious, you're taking your time to understand what you're putting your investment in, you know, makes it easier for you to be able to decide whether you want to proceed or not, you know. So I think the first step is to create a pathway, you know, where those who are people of Malinet, like African Americans and anyone who is interested in investing in Africa, to create a pathway where you can visit freely, you can visit that country. You know, even though as Americans you require a visa to get there, but take advantage of those of us that have seen, you know, both worlds. We've lived in Nigeria, now we're living here, and some of us are citizens here. You know, we have the easy access to be able to go back. You know, it's easy for me to say, hey, Brother Wadet or yourself, I'm going to Nigeria in December. You want to come with me? We go together. You know, I show you my terrain. I show you different opportunities that are there. You can take your hard currency here and take it back home and invest in something in Africa. The Chinese are doing it. The Indians are doing it. So why can't we as Americans or as African Americans do the same? You know, but I'll always advise anyone, if you have to invest in any country, don't just invest remotely. Go there, see what you are investing in. Make sure the people you're dealing with are legit, you know, and the business you're also investing in are legit. Do your research, do your due diligence before, you know, you commit to it. But I would say, you know, start visiting that country that you're interested in, you know, connect with the culture, connect with the people, you know, then you can then take it from there.
Thanks, man. That was excellent,
yeah,
man. I appreciate that, man. You know what I mean? And, you know, salute to Wadet, you know what I'm saying, for allowing me to get these questions off. You know what I'm saying? We out here building bricks up and standing sticks up. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I just wanted
to
stab in and get these things for the people. You know what I'm saying? But, you know,
yeah,
shout out to you. And, you know, may everything be growth upon your path. You know what I'm saying? I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, real quick, Brother Clev One, yeah. Let us know about when your show was coming up.
Oh, man, you know what, man? You know what? That's a good question, man. I'm getting used to this because I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm new to the squadron. So you got to excuse me that I'm not quite sure of the date. It may be the 23rd. You know what I'm saying? Brother O, could you help me out on this one?
Nope. I got it, man. You know, it's funny how this thing is moving so quickly. No, it's not. No. It's crazy how things are moving in. So it's going to be the 7th of September. So, you know, everybody get ready for Clive One. He'll be back and, you know, doing his thing. You know, and he's no longer a intern. Now he is a brand new host. And listen, before I go into the next track, my brother, we're fellow brothers. I'm from the western side, my family's from the western side of Nigeria, Uho Ibom, and on the coast, so, and Akwa Ibom. So I'm really proud tonight to have a fellow countryman, on the line. And I know what it is to come up in America. My mom, came from Nigeria, married my father, and I grew up in California. In a tough area, you know what I mean, brother? And, you know, succumbed to a lot of negative situations out there, into gangs. My parents intervened. That's why I'm still alive right now to be, the owner of this network. I understand what you mean about opportunity. It took me a long time to get opportunity for myself. I look at this situation here, brother, where I was able to obtain degrees. Served my country in the United States Coast Guard. Got my degree in journalism and communications from the Coast Guard Academy. Got my master's degree from the University of Southern California. So I understand what you mean, brother, when it comes down to having opportunity. You can do what you wilt. You can do what thou wilt. There's no excuses. And I like what Clev once said about, bridging. We talked about this many times, right, Jet? Definitely on your show, right? We talk about bridging the gap between Pan-Africanism is very important. That's something that Malcolm tried to do, before he was assassinated. To bring the countries to Africa and say, look, your little brothers over here in America are suffering, and to bring them forth, on charges to the United Nations, on charges of, genocide. And it's still going on even after his death. And that was 1964, right? It's 2022, and more egregious things are happening now. More egregious things in the education system, more egregious things in our social economics, more egregious things in our community. So we must be better and do the best we can to alleviate those things. Now, Rajet, I'll tell you this much. This song is dedicated to all the folk that always put someone down when they don't, when they have it, you're their best friend. When you don't, no one loves you. And Sam Cooke really, really sang this song. And then we'll take our next caller, Rajet. And the song is called No One Loves You When You're Down and Out.
Once I lived the life of a millionaire, spending my money I didn't care. Taking my friends out for a mighty good time. I bought that bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. Oh, but then my money began to fall so low. Couldn't find no friends, I had no place to go. If I ever get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on till that eagle grins. 'Cause I found out that nobody wants you. Nobody wants you when you're down and out. When in your pocket, oh, there's not one penny. You find out your friends, oh, you just haven't got any. But oh, just as soon as you get up on your feet again, should they all come saying they're your long lost friend. But oh Lord, I found out without a doubt that no nobody wants you. I know nobody needs you. I found out that nobody wants you when you're down and out. Nobody wants you when you're down and out. When in your pocket, oh, there's not one penny, you find out your friends, oh, you just haven't got any. Oh, just as soon as you get up on your feet again, here they all come saying they're your long lost friend. Without a doubt that nobody wants you. No, 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 nobody needs you. I found out that nobody wants you when you're down.
Product of WBNN. This is A&M University. And I'm your host, Ambassador Wadet Mentuhotep L, on air now from Lagos. Dial in 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Our topic tonight, Nigerians of the diaspora, men and women from Nigeria that live in other areas of the world, especially America. Ladies and gentlemen, and we are back with Mr. Omeje. And we have caller 3 in the queue. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Wadet. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
I'm doing great. Greetings. Thank you for chiming in. Do you have any questions tonight for Mr. Omeje?
No, I just have a comment. I don't have a question. I just think he's very interesting, and it's wonderful to hear him on here telling cultural stories on film. We don't have enough African filmmakers, so I just think that's interesting. And so I just wanted to make a comment and just say, you know, keep up the good work.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're very right. There's not a lot of African filmmakers, but Nigeria is one of the largest producers of African content. And if you are familiar with some of the contents on Netflix these days, most of the storytellers and filmmakers, mostly, you know, from the Nigerian, from the country Nigeria, and over the years they've actually improved their craft and the art of filmmaking, and try to tell the story in a cultural perspective, you know. But what I have not really seen is the documentaries side of things. Now, film, movies, and what the view can be fictional. They might not really tell, you know, a story from a more cultural fact, you know, as it should. But it kind of like give you a glimpse of what, you know, the culture that has been portrayed across Africa is. But a documentary will present facts, will present, you know, straight point, peer-reviewed literatures that can be gathered, and you know, and then we can preserve our culture. We can begin to understand our history, you know, who we are as a people, you know. And I think the documentary film, you know, in that light, you know, will do a great job in connecting us as Africans and also African Americans. You know, for instance, there's a lot I didn't know until I got to America. You know, I was thinking I didn't know in full the story of slavery and how slavery. We were not taught these things in school. You know, we were not taught slavery in school. They would tell us some of the heroes, Jaja Fokpobo, you know, and the other Queen Amina of these who fought against the European and all that. But we never really understood the efficacy of the slavery and how the impact it has created in humanity, especially in this part of the world. So having opportunity to be an American and be able to see both worlds and see what our forefathers went through, you know, to be here and in expanding into the African-American that we so-called today, you know, is fascinating. So we need to be able to tell that story from this side to our people, those who don't have the opportunity to come to America as well, you know, and also be able to tell the story from that side and tell it to the African-Americans who don't have the opportunity to go back home. So this is where I see when we talk about bridging the gap, these are the kind of things I like to see myself do, you know.
That would be wonderful. I would be very interested in that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time out, you know, to call in and to communicate with Mr. Omeje on the show tonight. Thank you very much. And would you like to inform the ladies and gentlemen as far as about any of your show on the ONE Network?
Sure. My show is called Breaking the Silence, and my next show will be September the 9th.
Awesome. Definitely can't wait for it. And thank you again for chiming in. And next up, we have caller 4 in the queue. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. How are you, Wajet?
Oh, feeling great.
That sounds wonderful. You know, I was observing what your guest had said. Sorry, didn't get the chance to find out his name. But I think it's really interesting how people kept the secret of why things had evolved the way they had amongst African Americans or Black Americans. And from, you know, people like himself. And when he came over here, you know, and found out, you know, some bits and pieces of it, I just want to know that if he understand why, you know, not only the African-American culture, but, for example, maybe Jewish-Americans, or if there were any atrocities that happened in any of the other cultures, why some people are so driven to hopefully try to go against some of the stuff that, you know, has been put out here that's been causing a lot of problems amongst people. The reason I asked it is because I'm not surprised to hear him say what he has said, but if he adjusted to the point he just wanted to understand what he is up against, you know, as well as working towards while he is here and trying to make progress, how does he feel about the progress he made despite all he's learned? And thank you very much, Wajet. This is Antonia Batts from Informational Guru.
Awesome. Also, Mr. Amajing?
Yeah, Wajet, can you break that question down for me? Her voice was, his voice was kind of like very low. I couldn't really hear what she was saying, but I know she said something about the culture of Jewish, something what they also went through, and with what I'm doing, I didn't really grasp her question clearly. If you can break it down for me.
Can you repeat your question, please? Thank you.
Well, yes, I would be glad to. Hi, how are you? My name is Vince.
Nice to meet you. My name is Sylvester Major. Yeah.
Sylvester, wonderful.
Great.
How do you feel about the adjustment you made here in the United States and understanding why so many people who have been subjected to oppression and death and all of that happened historically here over at least almost a few centuries. How do you feel about being here? Do you think that that would open your eyes to understanding why some things are the way they are? Not that you have to accept it. And do you feel as though that regardless of all of this, you can still continue to progress in doing what you have to do while you're here?
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. You see, my views about so many things have changed over the years, especially religious views, how I view Christianity and how I view some of Islam or other, you know, religion for that matter. You know, I was talking with a professor or a doctor who happened to come from the same side. He called me up yesterday and he asked me if I could help him with his new book. It's about interdependency, you know, the concept of interdependency and all that. That he said something that was very key for me here, that kind of like connects to the questions you have, that if only we know that as individuals, there's nobody can actually live by himself independently. We have to understand that that next person that you're talking to has something that to offer to you, and you as an individual have something to offer to make the world a better place. If we can understand that without having to create some kind of dominance over one another, this world will become a better place. And I think that the simple analogy that explains some of the problems that the world has faced ever in history, because one country or one race see themselves superior, supreme over the other and try to dominate and take from them and steal from them, enslave them and all that. If only we understand that you don't have to steal it, or you don't have to forcefully take it. We can co-share, we can cohabit, we can interdepend on each other, and still the world can, you know, go around in a very peaceful manner, you know. So I just believe that some of the things that happened history-wise is just inhumane. You know, the Holocaust, you know, was very, very totally unnecessary. And some of the war we continue to face today, whatever is happening in Ukraine, these are totally unnecessary. We just need to understand that concept of interdependency. You have something that I need. I have something that you want. We can share. We can give and take and grow together as one human race, rather than trying to dominate one another.
Also, thank you, Mr. Meje, and thank you, Ms. Antonia, for chiming in as well. And, please inform us of your show you have with ONE Network as well.
Oh, yes.
I hope I've been able to ask some questions, though.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit, I'm not exactly when the date that I'm scheduled to be back on is, but it's probably about three Mondays from now at 9:30 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern Standard Time, called Informational Guru by Antonia Betts. But thank you for making your guest available, and I thank him for explaining you know, what his take on understanding what it is now to be over here. So thank you both very much. You both have a very good night.
Thank you, Sister Antonia.
Yes, her show will be September 5th right here at WBNN. And we're going to take our next caller. Caller, you're live right now. Ambassador Wajet Mitsuhotel and Agricultural and Mechanical University. How do you like that one, Wajet?
Hey, all right. Caller 5 in the queue. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. My name is Ricardo Richard. I'm a host on this network, my show Culture and Makes. And I just was just calling to just let you guys know that I was enjoying the show. And it was real interesting to just hear some of the things he was saying about African filmmaker, and I'm also a filmmaker as well. So I just wanted to just call him and just show my support.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, brother.
Awesome. Thank you so much for chiming in, calling in, and showing your support. You know, it's definitely appreciated. You know, 100%. You know, but I'd like to inform ladies and gentlemen about your show.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, he was on last night. So of course, you know, in another four weeks, he'll be right back on a wonderful, outstanding, and Tuesday night right here at WBNN. And you know what's amazing about that? We keep on going, right? He's on the 13th of September. Yeah.
All right. Now we have next track by DJ Legend, Brother O.
Somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh, yes, I do. Why won't somebody come and ease my troubling mind? Somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh, yes, I do. I wish my baby would come and tell me everything's all right. My baby would come and tell me everything is still alright. Oh, yes, I do. They tell me when you tell somebody your trouble fly away from you. I'm looking for somebody. I can tell my troubles too. Why won't somebody come and ease my troubling mind? Yeah, I sure wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. You know, it's getting done. I almost on that time where we're about to end the show, but we're going to have final thoughts from YJ Mentalhotep L, as well as his outstanding, wonderful guest tonight. And we have another call on the line. YJ, you ready for it?
Oh, yeah, we on here now. Lagos, dial in at 516-453-9133. And we have our caller in the queue. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Caller,
you're live on the air. All right, well, we're going to go into final thoughts. And what more can I say tonight that hadn't already been said? Fellow countrymen, thank you so much for being on this program tonight. I love you. Being able to, you know, share your heart and soul with all of us and to, like I said, build that bridge between, you know, our continent and this continent. Because this continent is not our continent. And that's what I said.
Great thoughts, brother.
Yes, yes. Also, this was a beautiful show tonight. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Major.
Yes. Well, thanks for having me, I'll say. And it's always good to, you know, be in a position to kind of like connect to continents. And it's been a passion. It's what I've done for the past 12 years in being in the U.S., and haven't seen that divide firsthand. I just thought there's something that has to be done. And since then, my passion has to be to promote culture, you know, to connect culture and interconnect, you know, people, you know, and be able to bring that new or connect them with their old, long identity culturally and otherwise. So hopefully in the future, you know, we'll be able to use this platform to continue to do so, you know, and thank you for having me. It's a great honor.
And it was an awesome honor to have you on the show, BHU. And ladies and gentlemen out there, appreciate you as well, you know, for taking the time out, you know. And also, this has been a great experience, actually, far as with myself of, you know, being from Pittsburgh and taking the opportunity to reach out and communicate, you know, with people such as Mr. Omeje, you know, and so it's been an opportunity to actually open my vision abroad, as opposed to not only thinking about my environment that I live, but how, you know, just open up my mind further on how people can create constructive pathways to be able to help others in their area and abroad, you know. So, and we have Ngozi time.
All right. I really enjoyed the show tonight. I really did, Wajet, and to your distinguished guest tonight, just awesome. And it just makes my heart happy to hear what you're doing and what's going on in Africa. And, you know, people definitely need to know that Africa, you know, was and still is the richest continent on the face of this earth, to tell the truth, okay? All right. I am Chinchilla Jonesia, and I invite you all to tune in Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. for WBNN. We're on WBNN News Forum. And I'm the host and anchor of that show. And we're going to be talking about more wrongful convictions this Sunday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Milewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.ngozi@my.com for our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malebe Ngozi. I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Now back to Ambassador Wajet L, and stay tuned for Eating on a Spiritual Level with Chef Yosef tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, right here on WBNN. You can also tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now back to you, Wajet.
Ramon Wajet, are you there?
He's following
after the spirit of Andrea Presley, y'all. He fell out in the spirit. Come on, Wajet, get your life right.
Yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Omeje, and all the guests that have tuned in, you know, appreciate you for providing your presence tonight on A&M
University, and I am your host, Ambassador Wadette Mentuhotep L. And also, for further information, you can be able to reach out at 917-691-0842 or at whoheenterprises@gmail.com. whoheenterprises@gmail.com. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Omeje, for tuning in to A&M University.